and welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. Let's meet our guests. This week we have Quiz Queen Joy Aston, the beautiful and clever Emma Parkin, and the thinking woman Steve Backshall, Max Gray. Before we start, we'll have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds during which each creature must face a scenario and attempt to survive it. Contestants, as your creatures cannot speak for themselves, you must speak for them. If you think that your creature is not up to a challenge, you can turn over your wild card, which is written for you by your competitors, and use the creature that is written on it instead. You may only do this once during the competition. When all the contestants have made their arguments, a judgment will be made. The judge's rule is final. I want a good, clean fight, okay?
All right.
Yep.
I'm glad you agree. Okay, Max, can you please tell us what your animal is? And that's all I want you to tell me.
All right, my animal this week is a pangolin, which is a delightful little mammal that lives. You get some in Southern Africa and some in Southeast Asia and Indonesia around there. There's various different species. Basically, a weird little mammals tend to grub around in the earth eating insects, but they're covered in scales.
Cool. All right. And Joy, can you tell us your animal?
My animal is the salp, which is kind of like a jellyfish, but closely related to humans.
Ooh.
So that makes it like instantly better than all jellyfish that else exists. And they're kind of found all around the world in like temperate oceans. And there's a lot of them in the Southern Ocean.
And Emma, can you tell us?
Yeah, so I am championing the Hawaiian bobtail squid today, which lives, it's quite a small squid actually, it lives off the coast of Hawaii, kind of shallow to low depths, and it's pretty cool, which you're going to find out about later.
That's a good squid.
Yeah. I'm glad you approve of my choice of squid.
I love the squid. It's a good one.
All right. And the first scenario is, you have to travel from Tottenham in North London to Hyde Park, where you hope to live out the rest of your days in peace and quiet. How will you get there, avoiding capture and injury? And I think we should probably start with Max for that. The pangolin.
I think he's got the easiest job.
Just get in a cab. Be fine.
How are you going to get in the cab?
Wait, find a cab. Wait until somebody puts something into the boot. Sneak in there. Do it all at night. Hop on the other end.
How will you know where the cab is going? What if you end up in, like,
Wimbledon? Even if it takes me years... Like, you guys are going to desiccate on your way there. You just dry out and die.
Not necessarily. You just wait.
Yeah. So, I think what I do is, because obviously I'd be living in water wherever I was, maybe I'd disguise myself as, like, a Deliveroo delivery.
You're a salp.
I could be in a box of water.
No hands.
I don't have hands, no. But Then I'd be in water and I would somehow get myself delivered there.
But how would you not get eaten by the people who wanted Deliveroo deliveries?
Who would eat a jellyfish?
No, but what if somebody thought it was like sushi and you got presented as sushi?
Because I'd be delivered to like some anonymous pickup point in Hyde Park and then I would be free to colonise the Serpentine.
So you're going
to
somehow telepathically infiltrate the Deliveroo system to ensure that your delivery...
I think everyone's salps are underrated, man. Like,
okay.
There's so much we don't know about them.
They could be telepathic.
They could.
We just don't know.
We don't know.
You don't have hands. You don't really have a brain.
Yeah.
You can't communicate in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
How are you ordering this delivery?
How does a pangolin know what a taxi is?
That is a very good point.
Okay. I think the Hawaiian bobtail squid is going to pull a bit of a Finding Nemo / Finding Dory situation. Ooh. In which I can kind of comment, because I'm only quite small. I don't know how I get from Hawaii to England, but let's assume I'm like in London somehow in like an exhibit.
You're in Tottenham.
You can be someone's pet.
I'm in Tottenham, okay. So I'm gonna kind of somehow like wave to a bird and then get that bird to kind of scoop me up in its mouth with like water and then fly me to Hyde Park and put me in a pond. Because there needs to be a pond, otherwise I've got a problem.
No,
it wouldn't just eat me because some birds are nice.
The pelicans that live in Hyde Park, have you not seen that video of them eating a pigeon?
Okay, but I'm not a pigeon. I'm a small squid.
Then you're easier to eat. You don't have a beak. Well, you do.
One of the other things as well about the Hawaiian bobtail squid, which is pretty cool, is it can kind of disappear in the water by performing a process of counter-illumination. It has like this little symbiotic relationship with bacteria in its stomach. So it takes the light coming from the top and then projects the same amount of light downwards using these bioluminescent bacteria so that it magically disappears. So if I do that in the water and then get scooped up by a pelican, they won't know I'm in the water.
Yeah, why would it scoop you if it doesn't know you're there?
I'm not quite sure, but it's a better situation than a pangolin getting a taxi or a sap getting a delivery.
Excuse me, I think all our plans are flawed. But... yeah, we'd all make it. I think we'd all work hard to get there.
We'd all get to Hyde Park in the end.
And I would colonise that lake.
Oh, dear.
That's terrifying.
What do you think, Catherine?
Okay, right. It's time for the final judgement on this. I'm surprised that none of you are going on the tube.
Obviously, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that now as a person.
Yeah. God.
Because I would have thought that the pangolin would have been able to, it could just get on the tube at Seven Sisters.
Yeah, it would have got trampled.
Yeah, but somebody would, they're very cute, they're somebody very would little. Have stolen it.
Or trampled it.
But they might have helped you get to Tottenham Court. You could have just wooed a human and then, or Hyde Park or wherever we're going, wooed a human.
I was assuming that I probably couldn't communicate with people.
And I think the trade in pangolins, like, they're like, the trade is massive in them. Someone would like just be like, oh, look, a pangolin, and then be like, I can sell this on the black market. That's definitely what would happen.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going
to... Which would happen when you get to Hyde Park anyway.
So. Yeah.
I'm gonna choose Emma's squid for being the most innovative way of getting there, if perhaps the most unlikely.
Special thanks to Finding Nemo and Finding Dory for inspiration.
Okay, and on to the next scenario. Neoliberal economics are having a devastating effect on the zoo you live in. How can you justify the amount of money spent on your board and lodging? And let's start with Emma.
Okay, the Hawaiian bobtail squid is quite small. It doesn't need a huge amount of space or board and lodging. So, you know, a reasonably big sized fish tank would probably be all right. Which means that, you know, it doesn't cost a huge amount and it could be kind of in the, you know, near the rock pool area bit. And so it'd be more interactive with children and things. So I think that it's worth keeping and it's not very costly to look after me given I'm only about 5 centimetres big.
You're going to let children interact with you?
Through the glass. Ooh, through the glass. They're not allowed to pick me up.
You're not going to be in the touching
no,
rock pool.
No, no, not in the rock pool. I'd probably destroy all the
You'd
other ones.
You'd be fine because you could just be invisible the whole time.
Yeah, but I want them to see me because otherwise there's no point in them keeping me in the
How
zoo.
How would they know you were kept in the zoo if you're invisible all the time?
Oh, so you're saying I could just sneak into the zoo.
You
oh,
could
that's
just
a new
sneakily
thing.
Exist.
In which case I'm free, so nobody has to pay for me at all. I could just sneakily exist in other people's fish tanks.
Why are you cool enough to be in a zoo?
Because I disappear in the water. Like, so you can see me, and then you can't. It's like a little magic vanishing act. And it also has, like, kind of bioluminescent rings and blue bits around its eyes. It's quite pretty as a
squid. You could be part of a really excellent, like, aquatic exhibition.
Oh, definitely. And explaining bioluminescence, which, in case people don't know, is a production of living light through, like, chemicals, which is very interesting and is a lot of deep sea creatures. But I'm a shallow sea creature, so you can actually study me.
We could have a rave.
Yes.
Ooh. In the zoo.
You could have, like,
with all the bioluminescence... And, like, it could be amazing.
You know, like, kind of Science Museum Late, so you could do that in the zoo, but have, like, kind of the Hawaiian bobtail squid exhibit as, like, a rave with, like, neon paint and glow sticks.
You could charge more for that.
This is why, therefore, I'm a valuable addition to the aquarium/zoo.
Yeah.
This is why I think you should keep me, and why I don't cost very much to look after, but will bring great gains and rewards for the zoo.
Okay, that's a pretty good argument. Joy?
Bring it on, Salp.
Ah, Salp. My angle is, you know... Being a waitress, my manager is always like, what is the next big food hype in London?
You're gonna eat salps.
No, I'm gonna say we should try and sell salp as a dish, as a delicacy. And because I can reproduce asexually, I can just bud off, keep budding, and make a profit for the zoo as they feed my body to paying customers.
So instead of being alive, you'd rather have all of your children killed than turned into sushi?
Well, they're not children, they're clones.
Okay, that makes life worse, technically. They've got more of your genetics.
I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, I'm willing to make that sacrifice to stay in the zoo and make them more money.
I mean, surely you wouldn't have taken up that much space in the tank either. You probably could have shared
It depends if I'm as long as a bus or not, because it depends
how big
how
a salp.
It depends. So they're individuals, and then they bud and, like, reproduce asexually and, like, clone themselves, and they can end up as long as a bus.
Okay.
Like, as a colony of just a string of salps.
Right. Well, I think your salps should have more self-respect than that.
But, selling themselves for sushi. Death is not the object of the game.
I see nothing wrong with this.
Well, I guess the individual, the one who buds, is still alive,
yeah.
Right?
So So, I don't see... I think you're just being very judgmental.
I am quite judgmental.
She's the judge of the show.
Okay, fine. Well, okay. Max?
Pangolins are adorable, for starters. They're always going to be a big draw in a zoo. So, really, I don't think there's much to justify. They're incredible. Also, how many people that visit zoos know about mammals that are covered in scales? It's a really interesting thing. They're fascinating to look at. They curl up into a ball a little bit like a hedgehog. Just look like this weird scaly ball. They're fascinating. You could just sit and watch them for ages.
How much space do they need, though?
Which question am I answering?
Okay, can I touch them? Can you get them out? And can I like pet a pangolin?
Potentially. I mean, you'd have to set that up at the zoo. You'd have to, you know, make sure you had a pangolin that was habituated to humans. But you could potentially have an animal handler bring them out, get people to stroke them and the like.
That is cool.
So I've slightly changed my questions. They're endangered, right?
They are.
So like their breeding program's going to cost a lot because you've got to get like another one from somewhere else and bring it over.
Only if you have a breeding program.
Well, I'm sure that's the point of the zoo, to slightly conserve the endangered animal.
Actually, possibly. Neoliberal economics, probably not.
Yeah.
But the thing is, not all zoos have a breeding program for all endangered animals. The way breeding programs work is they breed the animals and then tend to give those other animals that they've bred to other zoos. Because you're not allowed to sell endangered animals because of international trading law. But what zoos do is they trade animals. So if they want a different animal, they will then either trade or give those animals to other zoos.
Would you trade a pangolin for many, many salps?
I mean, you'd need literally billions of salps to balance that particular equation.
I can get that for you.
I mean, this is getting quite sinister. Some sort of weird black market, salp flesh market that you're running.
I think the white buffalo squid is just going to happily float along in its little enclosure, just being quite happy with its neon rave, and life will be fine.
All right, so I know, Emma, you get a bit upset when I don't let you win, but you're not winning this one. The pangolin has to win because...
Oh, mate.
Pangolins are so cool.
Oh, salps are cool.
Not as cool.
Not as sushi.
You don't know that
Have
yet.
You ever eaten jellyfish
salp sushi?
Flesh?
Yeah, have you, anyone?
It's awful.
You're vegetarian.
Yeah, I've eaten jellyfish.
So is kale, and kale is the big thing. Like, kale's
sure, you're vegetarian.
Yeah, but
you
kale, let's face it, kale's awful as well.
Yeah. But salps could be as awful and probably sell as well.
Salps, the new kale.
Yeah, salps could be the new kale, I think. You guys just need to open your minds.
Okay, well, my mind is closed and I'm choosing the pangolin.
Oh!
Okay, that's the end of that scenario. Okay, and on to the last scenario. Okay, this one is especially relevant for you, Joy. Everyone is talking about you. Your dignity is under fire.
Thank you.
Make a case that you actually are the coolest creature in the room. And since you've been selling your flesh for sushi, you can start.
Well, I think when you say salp to people...
They think kale.
Obviously, because salp is the new kale. But in addition, it's like... No one's ever really heard of them. I think they're really underrated as a creature. And, you know, there have been occasions where blooms of salps on the coast of California have shut down a nuclear power plant. Like, salps are obviously the new Greenpeace. And, you know, we all need help. We need more help protecting the climate than Greenpeace is like and like do. We need all the help we can get. And I think, you know, salps are out there, on the front line.
I'm not sure shutting down nuclear power plants
is
the way to go.
It's going to help with renewable energy.
This greener energy is bad.
Yeah. Did they shut down the power plant because there were too many of them in the water near the power plant?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't they disrupt the carbon cycle?
They can disrupt the carbon cycle because if there are so many of them and quite often they'll sink to the bottom of the ocean and like completely change the way the carbon cycle functions in the Southern Ocean. So they can have a direct impact on climate change.
Does this make them cool though?
I think it's a positive thing because if the carbon is sinking to the bottom of the ocean, that's trapping it, isn't it? So that's
What, as a carbon
sink? How do they trap carbon?
So they're made, they have carbon in them. You know, things sinking to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, but they're not photosynthetic, are they?
No, but they eat things in the water. And then when there's too high a density of the
yeah,
the
no, they do react as a...
They sink down to the bottom of the ocean and trap carbon. So
no,
really,
they are carbon storage.
They are, yeah. In addition to occasionally shutting down a nuclear power plant, which Greenpeace would love, but I think is a questionable thing to do, they are trapping carbon at the bottom of the ocean. And they are on the front line against climate change.
And they have featured on Octonauts.
And they have, which is, you know, obviously, have your creatures featured on Octonauts? Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, but have you seen Octonauts?
No.
Not recently.
Okay, it's probably not our target audience. are probably not the kind of people who watch Octonauts, but they should.
For those of you who haven't watched Octonauts, go and at least watch one episode of Octonauts
right
with a beer or a glass of wine.
Put down whatever you're doing immediately. Pause this, go and watch them.
And come back.
In about 7 hours after you've like lost yourself to the underwater world, come back.
Okay, CBeebies, guys. All right, okay. I'm not majorly convinced, Max. Everybody's talking about pangolins. You're being dissed.
What are they saying about me?
That you're ugly.
Probably that you're creepy, ugly.
That you're a knockoff.
You're really rubbish
duckbill
at surviving.
Platypus.
Really rubbish at surviving.
Well, that's true. I am critically endangered.
Yeah.
It's a sad state of affairs. I mean, they're right, but people should be saying that about pangolins. It's very important. They need help.
Can you make a case for why we should help you?
Why they're cool?
I mean, I can, but it might get a little political.
God.
All the endangered species deserve some level of protection. It's worthwhile in its very nature, that. But,
How are you going to convince them that you're actually cool, though? Like, that's the thing. It's your reputation, it's your rep that's under fire here.
Ah, right. See...
So you've got to convince them you're actually, like, a cool rather than a geek, you know, like in high school.
Oh, God, let's not go down. Let's not go
pangolins, I mean, oh, my God. Hit with hipster glasses.
Pangolins are, let's face it, a little bit niche. They're
a bit hipster.
They're the hipsters of the animal world.
So South is a new kale and pangolin are the hipsters of the animal world.
I think all you really need to do is meet a pangolin and you will appreciate the pangolin for its inherent value. They are fascinating, they're adorable. I don't know why anybody would want to diss them in the first place.
Yeah, but you can say all those.
Equally, their self-esteem is pretty robust. They're probably going to be fine. They don't especially care what people have to say about them, I would imagine. Just, yeah.
You're going to Taylor Swift and Shake It Off.
Okay, I kind of think pangolins are cool, personally. Although others have talked about how awful they are.
when?
Us now.
In my scenario. Okay, Emma.
Right, if you pardon the pun, the Hawaiian bobtail squid is just going to blow you all like out of the water, particularly for the salps. This will be a problem for them. So, as I said before, they're very cool. They're really cool bioluminescent creatures. They have the amazing ability, when they're both hunting and being chased by predators, to disappear in the water by this process of counter-illumination. What's even more cool is that, like, the bacteria that they have this symbiosis with is not acquired through vertical transmission. It's not given via their parents. They have to, as soon as their little hatchlings, go out into the sea and find these bacteria so that they can make bioluminescence. So they kind of signal to each other. The squid releases some mucus and kind of helps draw the bacteria in and then produces a literal nurturing environment so that those bacteria can grow, but the bad bacteria they don't want can't. So they're a really nice home. They're very friendly. And then I've also said they're bioluminescent. They have very cool blue squid rings. They're very neon. We can have like a rave like either in the ocean or in the aquarium. Like they are the party squid. Like you would not want to be in a world without this. And I mean, I think, to be honest, if you've got haters on Twitter or Facebook for the Hawaiian bobtail squid, it's just because they couldn't get into one of the amazing raves that the Hawaiian bobtail squids are throwing. So they're just jealous of my amazing flamboyance as a species.
Okay, yeah, so you're saying that your haters are probably, it's probably kind of Daily Mail kind of scenario.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, God.
Definitely.
Mm. Okay, that's a win.
Yes!
Fair. All right.
There is serious salp bias going on here.
They're just not cool, Joy.
Just point that out.
Kale is not cool. Salp is not cool. Therefore.
I think salp are cool, but once I thought of them as the new kale, I couldn't think of anything else, and I'm quite anti-kale.
Oh. Why are you anti-kale, Catherine?
Why?
Because it tastes like shit.
No, if you like put little onions and bacon in it, then it tastes great.
Yeah, but then it tastes like onions and bacon.
That's why it is good.
Everything tastes good with onions and bacon in it.
That's how
even,
I eat my kale.
Even salp.
Maybe not.
I mean, you could do that with sawdust.
Sawdust is the new salp.
I'd like to point out that Joy is actually vegetarian, so it's quite funny that she's advocating to eat the species
well,
she's trying to save.
We're in a, like, in terms of climate, you know, we need to look for new food sources, guys. So insects and salp.
Do you think salp will be more sustainable as a food source?
Yes. Than meat, definitely.
Despite being mostly full of water and very small individually.
Eating jellyfish is a thing. There's a lot of protein in them. Mm.
It does taste awful, though. Have you ever tried it?
Well, if you mince it, not obviously on vegetarian, but if you mince it down, we could just use it as a protein.
Package. I've had air-dried jellyfish, and it was like fishy shoe leather.
New kale. Yeah, salp.
Yeah, exactly.
On that note,
I think that's the end of that scenario. So this week's overall winner in Creature Wars, who is saved from extinction for another week, is Emma's bobtailed squid.
Yes, the Hawaiian bobtailed squid. Does it again. Does it again.
All right, have you got anything to say? How are you feeling, salp?
Are you using that as a slur now? Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel there's been some serious salp bias like, against salps today. And, you know, just want to throw that out there before
I am biased.
Okay.
Hashtag not all salp.
Pangolins are just tropical creatures. I'm very cold.
Because he's in England right now. What was your wild card, Max?
My wild card was the fruit fly, Drosophila, which would have been pretty handy for getting across London.
Okay, does everyone want to say bye?
Bye!
Bye.